Welcome to Theology Thursday, an ecumenical space for students to discuss matters of faith and theology.
I'm your host, Connor Grubbs.
I am your co-host, Ryan Mock.
And I'm your co-co-host, Johnny Grubbs.
Well, here we are, another week of Theology Thursday. And Ryan, you're about to leave us for a very long time.
I'm going on a journey.
An inward journey.
An inward journey into the bowels of my soul.
Just don't get mugged on the way.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think what we're going to do, because I don't want to leave this chair empty. And so what we're going to do is we're going to have some guests on while you're away.
Ooh.
And if you can join on Zoom, then, you know, we can.
I might. I'll be deep in the wilderness, yeah. So I can't say there will be Wi-Fi there.
No, but, you know, who knows, you know. So, hey, look, good luck.
Thanks.
I'm really concerned.
I'll keep bringing you a souvenir. Johnny's
worried about you.
I get worried about these kind of things. I don't. Yeah.
It's because you're a good dad.
Johnny's going to be up at night thinking about me, like, what if he's scared and it's raining and he's hungry and
something. I know, like, we're peers, but, like, something in me ever since I had a child is just, like, that kind of thing.
I'm your child
now. I'm just thinking, like,
every time Johnny looks at you, he thinks of Zoe.
No, that's definitely not
Dad,
true.
Dad, please.
Stop. No.
You're just so adorable.
It's just the concept of, like, are you, you know, do you have everything you need? You know, like, and I think the biggest thing is that you're saying on all this, like, what, the public park things, you know?
Yeah. I'm camping in National Forests and BLM areas.
So those are, like, high robbery areas. So, you know, it's just.
I don't know why. I don't know where you get that information from.
I'll send you some stats, but it's true.
Okay. Send me some
just
stats.
Be careful, though. I mean, but seriously, because people, that's where people live full time. And, like, sometimes that's, like, the only way that they make a living.
Yeah.
Is, like, by stealing from people like you.
You like me, yeah.
So, yeah,
I'm vulnerable.
But with COVID, they've been short on supplies. So Ryan wants to help them continue their career.
That's what you should do. You should bring some extra stuff, like burner stuff.
Yeah.
Stolen.
Oh, no. Don't take my 5 bags of Cheetos. No. Please, no.
Yeah, well, good luck.
Thanks.
We love you.
I love me too.
So
that's why he's doing this.
You can't see it right now, although you will see. This is pretty fantastic, actually. We got a little fancier this week. We actually have a monitor now. Doesn't that feel kind of fancy?
I'm looking at Twitter right now.
Yeah, you're looking at Twitter. Usually I'm just kind of reading, and
like,
now we get to all.
So,
you know, y'all see it in the corner, but we actually have a screen we can look at now. It feels fancy.
Yeah.
It feels fancy. We're adding little things every week.
We're moving up in the ranks.
We want to thank our Patreons for helping us make that possible. Because you didn't pay for the TV, but you.
I was about to say.
You did pay for the cord that's sending it from my computer to the TV. So,
there you go.
Okay, we're on Twitter. All right.
As I often am.
Yeah. Have you guys seen this tweet from Justin Dean? Or is this your first time seeing this?
This is my first time seeing this.
Okay,
I don't think I follow.
Justin Dean used to work at Mars Hill. He was kind of their marketing PR guy.
I did see this.
So yeah. He was supposed to be on. Johnny, have you seen this?
No, I haven't seen it.
He was supposed to be on the rise and fall of Mars Hill. But then after listening to it, he sent this email to Mike Cosper declining the interview. Let's see what he had to say.
Yeah, this is really juicy stuff because, like,
oh man, that's
it's too small.
Unfortunately, it gets pixelated and displays like this.
I could read it. I could read it. Could I read it?
You want to read it?
Yeah. Oh, okay. We could do paragraphs. We could pop.
No,
read.
Just read it.
Whatever.
I don't want to look at the light. It's too close to the.
Hi, Mike. Thank you for your interest in my story. After taking the time to catch up on the podcast, I've decided to decline participating. It's good to look back on Mars Hill and reflect on what happened. So I appreciate what you are doing. There is certainly a lot to be learned and a lot to discuss about what we could have done better. But the focus of the show so far seems to be asserting that Mars Hill was abusive, when that just isn't the case. There has been little to no focus at all on the good that was done, and nothing positive so far.
I disagree with that completely.
The entirety of episode 3 was about how all the great things that Mark Driscoll did in the early years of the church, about how he was providing for single mothers and how he was.
Right.
So
to say,
we can kind of pause throughout and react because
you could say there's little, but you can't say there's none. Like,
no.
It's very obvious there's some.
And they, I felt like they laid that groundwork before going into all
right.
of the negative stuff, is they said, this is why some people wanted to be a part of it, and you can't blame them. Like, these were the good things that Mark did, and these were the good things that were happening. So I just want to say already, like, that's not true.
Yeah.
That they haven't said anything.
Yeah, and I think that's it, that's what struck me about some of the episodes. I'm like they didn't even try to, like, say they did this good, but, like, sometimes they would just lay it out there, and you'd be like,
stuff, they did
wow,
bad stuff.
That's amazing that they did that.
What
you
do
know?
You do with it? Yeah. So let's talk about it.
By the way, this we are talking about the Rise and Fall of Mars Hill podcast, for those of you out of the loop.
Yeah, and if we're going to explain that, do you want to explain what that is?
Oh, it's a podcast about the rise and fall of Mars Hill.
Thank you. Which was Mark Driscoll's church.
Yeah, which most people probably already know, but I need kind of explain
okay.
it. So, yeah,
right,
here we
go. Okay.
Don't get me wrong.
Don't get me wrong. I have my own criticisms of Mark to share and mistakes that I've made to fess up to, but I didn't realize the show would focus solely on that. I'm surprised by this. Maybe I was giving you the benefit of the doubt, but I didn't think this is what it was about, and I fear the popularity of the podcast is going to spark even more shows that promote the failings of other churches. And that's just not a project I want to be a part of. This is not how we move forward from these experiences with grace. How does this show fit in with Christianity Today's mission to, quote, strengthen the church by richly communicating the breadth of the true, good, and beautiful gospel?
I'm glad
quote.
He was able to copy and paste that from the website.
Yes. I appreciate the quality of the podcast, and while there is truth in a lot of the content, I'm not comfortable with the direction you've taken. In 7 episodes so far, the majority of the people you've interviewed are feminists or progressive Christians or people who don't even consider themselves Christians at all.
What? Pause. Ed Stetzer is now a progressive Christian.
Yeah, well, I guess that happened at the Southern Baptist Convention.
But he's not progressive. Like, he's still a part of a very conservative, complementarian church. He's not a part of the Southern Baptist Convention anymore, but he was in charge of Lifeway for years. And granted, he says you should get vaccinated, and he says abuse is wrong. That doesn't make you a progressive.
Oh,
that's you a
crazy.
Decent person.
That is so progressive, freaky weirdness.
Anyway, so, and yeah, I thought that was really interesting, because again, that's just not true.
Right, yeah.
They're not only interviewing feminists and progressives.
Did he actually listen to these episodes?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering, because, like, it's crazy. I bet you this gets read on the show.
Oh, I know, I'm sure Michael address it. So I just wanted to, because that's another thing.
Yeah, well, it gets better here. One of the major themes seems to be that complementarianism in itself is abusive, which is far from reality. The show criticizes a lot of different issues, but nobody is providing the other side, explaining why we did what we did. It seems the thought is that it wouldn't matter.
Okay, so if you're referring to things you did that were abusive, it doesn't matter why you did them. It was wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
And I can see where you might draw the implication, though he never says this on the show, the implication that complementarianism is in and of itself abusive from what's said on this show and kind of what's unveiled, which...
Well, it's not explicitly said. I think it certainly sets things up. Like, I know that we all have, you know, come to different... same conclusions, but I don't know. I think that it can set it up for that, but it's not automatically abusive necessarily.
Right.
And I don't think the show pushes that direction. I think it just kind of states some facts, and you go, "Oh, that."
No, here's what I've always thought. Look, because I know a lot of complimentarian people who are good people, and
not abusive.
Yeah, who are not abusive people, and they're good people. And here's the thing. I mean, I'm a part of a church. Its official statement of faith is complimentarian, and I feel like God's called me to that church, so. I submit to that for the time being. Long term, I don't know what that looks like, but I'll say this. The thing that I always thought when listening to the show is this shows the extremes of what happens if you really follow these patterns of thought to their logical conclusion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, and so that's why him even saying, well, it doesn't explain why we did it. Oh, so are you saying that, like, there's some sort of justification for any of this? Because there's not. Continue.
I just don't know how my story and perspective can possibly fit in with the narrative you've developed, and I'm afraid I don't trust that I'd be represented well, even if you were interested in having the other side told. I think it's important for people to hear my perspective, as the former communications director and spokesperson for Mars Hill. However, that story may be better suited for my own blog or podcast. Your episodes so far have been littered with misinformation and half-truths and assertions that go unchecked. It's enough to warrant an episode-by-episode response if I ever find the time. Again, I appreciate you reaching out and considering having me on the show. I'm certain your intentions are good. We just don't share the same vision for what is helpful. Justin
okay.
Dean.
Okay. 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 So former communications director. Like, he's still doing this work for Mark Driscoll pro bono, apparently. because, I mean, come on. And he talks about, oh, I have my own criticisms, and people said that, like, made comments on Twitter. You don't work for him anymore, you know? It's okay. And he's like, I've criticized him before. So here's the thing. If this is true, that the episode has been littered with misinformation and half-truths, then that is a problem. And maybe, I don't know, I wasn't there. Maybe that's true, but I have little reason to trust him based on the statements that precede that accusation.
Yeah, because there
are hundreds of people who have spoken up and said this show's going too soft.
Yeah.
That it's being too kind to Mars Hill. There are hundreds of people that are coming out and saying, yeah, that's true. I was there. I experienced it. So you have hundreds of people's word against his.
I think his statement would stand a little better if he didn't litter it with things that we know are untrue. Like, all you have to do is listen to the show to know that it's not 100% negative, right?
Yeah.
Like that.
It should have been. If you really wanted to make an accusation that was worth anybody considering, just say, I feel like this show's misrepresenting things. I don't think, you know, it's covering the full spectrum.
If he had just said that, then it would have probably gotten a little farther along. People would have been like, okay, you know,
and so,
let's explore that more. But he's.
And this guy's responding to everybody that's going on Twitter and like,
oh, crazy. Cool.
He's responding to every single person. Very defensive, right? Here's the thing I find the most ironic about it, okay? And, of course, he gives the reason, oh, I don't want to be misrepresented, whatever. But you're complaining about how he only interviews progressives and feminists.
Right.
But then refusing to come on the show.
Right.
You're complaining that he's not, you know, interviewing more people, and then you won't go on.
Right.
Anyway, kind of silly, I thought. Again, maybe there's some truth to that last accusation, but I have little reason to trust him. Looking at the thing as a whole.
Well, isn't that a big howdy-do?
Howdy-do.
Well, I'm looking forward to the next episode of The Rise and Fall of Mars Hill. It's been too long, really.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot to learn from that. And I think, like, every kid that goes through seminary now should have to listen to that podcast.
Yeah, and read Jesus and John Wayne.
And then and that one of the big implications is, like, don't, like, I keep running into these, like, really young senior pastors, you know. And I'm just, it's just not a good idea. Anyway, that's just me. All right, I'm done. Soapbox over.
That's why I'm going to become a fry cook.
I support that decision.
Because I'm too young to be in ministry.
I didn't say young to be in ministry. I mean, senior leadership. I think there is an age threshold, a maturity threshold.
Thank you for your input, Senior Pastor Grubbs.
I'm not a senior pastor. That's the thing.
Just kidding.
Okay, so for our main topic today, we've gotten some questions recently that are questions we've gotten in the past, and then we've answered, okay?
My word.
And so one of the things, and this was, you know, Ryan, this was your idea, so I got to give you the credit.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ryan.
You're welcome.
So why don't we start reacting to old episodes, see if our views have changed at all, okay?
Theology Thursday reacts.
Theology Thursday reacts to Theology Thursday. So we're going to do that today because what I've been doing when people, I was just like, oh, I already answered that. Here's the episode link. And sometimes I might still do that, especially if it was recent.
Yeah.
But if somebody asks a question and it's one we haven't visited in a while, then maybe we have something we could add to the conversation, something that's changed.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, I think we've been doing this for, what, 3 years now?
Yeah.
And, like,
it's 120 episodes.
Our opinions on certain things have changed over that time.
Some of them drastically.
So definitely, I think.
No, it's kind of terrifying that there's this many hours of content out there. It's going to cost me a job someday. But we're having a good time.
it was all worth it.
This is Katie's question. Why did God allow humans to sin in the beginning in the Garden of Eden and create us as sinful creatures when he knew we would reject him to make a plan to allow us to accept him all over again through Jesus' sacrifice? So a couple things. One, he didn't create us as sinful creatures. I think Katie recognizes that. I think it's just poorly worded. Because he didn't create us as sinful creatures. He created us as good creatures with free will who, you know, sin entered the picture later, right? But it's that old question of, like, why put the tree there in the first place? Like, why even give them the option to sin? And so we're going to look at an episode we did on the Tree of the Knowledge of Good and Evil. This actually came out in February, so it wasn't terribly long ago. And I kind of thought maybe not react to this one, but then y'all were like, I don't even remember what I said. Let's watch it again.
I'm kind of curious.
Because it's mainly you two that talked on this episode. So at any point, if you want to pause and respond to something specific, please do. And also recognize we're going to go through the whole thing. I'm going to edit it later.
Yeah.
So, like, if there's long chunks of us watching and not saying anything, don't worry. I'm going to trim it down and make it something concise. So this is new for us, but it's going to be fun. I'm sorry, Johnny, that the lights are going directly into your eyes.
It's okay. And I'm sorry that I'm so big in this episode.
Yeah. I'm excited to have that.
You are a substantial man in this one.
I don't know what happened.
I think it's just your posture. You're, like,
slouched. I think so.
And your head just, like, kind of, like,
rub his little
sits
tummy
on top of
so
your
we
tummy.
Were, yeah, it's much better that we have the studio now. See, I told you guys we've improved. All right. And plus, look at – I love how each mic stand's different. This one's the straight-up one. This one's the boom stand. This one had this weird little bendy thing.
One thing I will critique about me right away is I'm glad that my beard care and haircut has gotten
better. Much better. Yeah. I'm glad, too. There's certain things that they just take time.
Why did God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden when he knew Adam and Eve would sin? Ooh. The age-old question.
Yeah, and it's a fair question. I think a lot of people at some point ask that question as they're kind of putting together the biblical narrative. Is like, okay, God is sovereign, and God is all-knowing, and he gave them free will and put them in the garden with – sorry, Ryan – with this tree and the ability to make this decision, why would he do that?
And don't forget, it's a misnomer, apparently, that Calvinists don't believe in free will.
We do believe in free will.
Johnny,
but that's a discussion
anyway.
For a different time.
Okay, so you're in agreement that God gave Adam and Eve a choice whether or not to eat from that tree.
Yes. They had the ability to choose to sin or to choose to not to sin. That's a whole philosophical discussion for a different time, though.
But ultimately, we agree on that statement as it stands. Maybe the nuances of that statement.
There's lots of nuance there.
Oh, there's tons of nuance. There's tons of nuance about this question. Yeah. I think
actually, my answer probably is different. It might be different.
I think it is different because we alluded to this question at some point. I had said kind of my like three word or one sentence take on it, and you're like, I want to hear more about that. I don't know about that. So. I'm ready whenever, whoever wants to go first.
I don't want to go first.
I'm pretty excited about it. Do you want to share your bit? Or?
I want you to go first.
Yay. Okay.
I'm here to see you guys fight each other.
Cringe.
I don't think we're going to fight each other.
That's what the audience wants to watch, too.
I think maybe we're just going to come at it from different, it's kind of like if you're like.
Just go ahead and share your view.
You ever seen the movie Vantage Point? Never mind. All right. All right so here's the thing. The tree. It has kind of a multifaceted purpose. I must say that first.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Adam and Eve are called in the beginning, right, to rule the world when it basically. I mean, it's you're supposed to have dominion. Basically, God was preparing Adam and Eve to take care of, to tend to the world, to really do all the things that we've done just in a worse way. build cultures, build communities. Cultivate the earth, right? So he calls these to rule the world. Ironically, one of the Hebrew words used, he kind of refers to them as children. And I'm really butchering this and like going through it fast. We could get more in depth and like the actual Hebrew words and stuff like that. But he basically, the Hebrew word in Genesis kind of denotes that they're learners, they're children, they're under the direction of Yahweh, And so God walks with them. This is clear later on when, like, he's coming through the garden, during a certain time of the day, So he's with them on a regular basis. That's also implied in the text. And so the connotation, when you look at it, especially if you start to, you know, pull out your lexicon and start to parse some of the original language, the Hebrew connotation is that God is going to teach them good and bad, right and wrong, as they take on the mantle of ruling. Mm-hmm. Right. This is
something that God would teach them through this.
Right. Exactly. God mm-hmm. would over time teach them right and wrong, good and bad. This is heavily implied in the text, and so that they can rule. And so the question becomes, well, then why the tree? Right. God's showing them good and evil. The tree is a challenge. Are you going to take wisdom from me, the source, God, Yahweh? Are you going to learn from me? Are you going to try to seize wisdom for yourself? And so that's really how, through reading different scholarship and stuff like that, how I've come to understand the tree, you know, that it was really a challenge. Are you going to seize wisdom for yourself? Are you going to allow God to teach you in time what it truly is? It was really a question.
Yeah.
Do you trust me? Do you love me?
And so far up to this point, I'm in perfect agreement with everything that you've said.
Okay. All right. Interesting.
Are you guys still in perfect agreement with everything you've said and agreed with?
So far, yes. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think that's important too. Like that question of, do you love me? Do you trust me? Like that was really the implication of the whole tree and the whole scenario. Sure. That was the purpose.
Yeah.
The question for me becomes, but if God foresaw that they would be deceived, right, then why the tree? God foresaw it, why the tree? And my answer, looking at the unified story that leads to Jesus, is love. The tree was placed in the garden because of love. If you look at the narrative, right, considering good and evil on your own, it's actually morally innocuous. Like considering it, trying to weigh what is good and what is evil, that was within their earthly rights. Look at the text. Eve considers the idea that the tree is desirable, right? She still hasn't sinned yet. She just looks at it and says, that's a shortcut. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, so she's considering, maybe, is it wiser for me to seize wisdom a little bit quicker? Jump the gun? But she doesn't sin until she makes the statement by taking from the tree, which is why a tangible thing was necessary, a device for tangible obedience and trust, which ultimately is love in action, right, is necessary for love. We know this to be true, right? There's a tangible, we make covenants of love, we make standards around love, even in relationships, you know, it's like, there's this idea of like cheating on another person and stuff like that. We create tangible ways of showing our submission, our obedience to one another in order to communicate love.
Yeah, I think I definitely still stand by this, that and I first actually heard this from my grandfather, and it stuck with me, the idea that the tree was put in the garden for the sake of love. And you know, it didn't, I guess it didn't have to be a tree specifically, but that idea that it had to be something tangible, that they either, you know, the significance of the tree is actually something else in scripture, and there's a reason why it's a tree. But the main purpose is the device of like tangible, actionable obedience. And the reason is, if you look at the greatest commandment in scripture, the Hebrew word for love is both a verb and a noun. You know, and we talk about that in Christianity. It's like, love is not just a feeling, it's an action. And it's like, but like, it's like so true, like in the original text, that it's both and. There's, and you can't have one without the other. And so that's why there had to be a commandment involved.
Yeah. So, you know, because the typical answer has to do, and I think y'all address this a little bit later in this episode we're reacting to, but is sort of the free will argument that we're not all just robots. But it really goes a lot deeper than that. It is about a relationship.
Yeah,
with
exactly.
God, mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah.
There are usually tangible things that you can do or not do, which communicate that you are in a love relationship. And so the tree was a necessary device. My question, after kind of seeing all of that come together in the narrative, isn't why did God put it in there, you know, but why did God go through with it? Because he knew the tree was necessary for love, but he knew they would fail to love him, right? So he knows that this is necessary in order to create this environment where he can have a love relationship with this creation, but he also knew what it would cost him, and he did it anyway. Mm-hmm. You know, so the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which we often relate to, you know, and rightly so. You said it's a fair question. We often relate it to, well, that was that really the wisest thing? Ironically, the same thing that Adam and Eve were doing, right, with the tree. Is that really the wisest thing? It's actually one of God's greatest expressions of love. Because in his omnipotence, that a love relationship with his creation, he, even though he knew that, he basically stated it was worth the consequences of our failure, yeah. You know, to do that.
I just think it's interesting how in that too, this is kind of a separate thing, but I'm just noting how the tree really and their decision with it really reflects the essence of sin. In the first place, is that sin almost always boils down to us wanting to take control, us wanting to have authority.
Mm-hmm.
And oftentimes, sin comes from a God-given desire being perverted
right.
into our own timing and our own way of doing it.
And if you really think about the whole narrative, it's really, really good. Like, there's so much packed in that in that narrative. But when you think about it, like, even as believers, right, Paul very explicit with the fact that we're going to still struggle with sin as believers, right? When do we struggle with sin the most? It's when we neglect our relationship with the Lord. They were given this opportunity. Did God really say? They could have clarified with God. He was coming to walk through the garden a little bit later, right? I mean, they could have waited and invested in their relationship with Yahweh and said, God, I'm considering this. What do you think is wise? They could have asked him what his standard was. And oftentimes, our biggest mistake is not pausing to consider what God would have us do in a situation of temptation. And so...
That was a good application, Johnny.
Thanks, buddy. Good application.
Brought it back around.
I think one caveat that I'd make to what I said is the idea of the sin often being related to us wanting to take authority and control. I think just a clarification there is like that's... us wanting to take God's place of authority
right.
and control. Because really, I mean, the mandate for humanity is to take dominion and
yeah,
have authority and create and cultivate. And so I can see how, like, that sentence by itself without that clarifier, like, no, we are supposed to take authority, you know, over what God's given us. But it's like trying to take God's place is where that becomes an issue.
It seems like my thesis statement, which is probably still true today, is that... God allowed for the possibility of sin because he believed love was worth it.
Yeah. Ryan's about to offer a counterpoint.
Kind of faced with the same question, right? We're reeling with the fallout of the consequences of them eating the tree, and God is calling us back to a place where we trust him.
They ate the
you
whole
know, that,
tree?
That his plan yeah. is good, that his plan is wise.
Still stand by that to this day.
It's the same choice all over again when we have some of these questions. They're totally fair, but at the end of the day, I think that the tree of knowledge of good and evil was that's why love exists, you know. So,
Aww, Ryan.
So, I think I agree mostly with everything
mostly.
You said.
Mostly.
The way I answered Uh-oh. The question, I answered the question from a different angle.
I don't remember what I
think.
Said.
So I do have a different answer than you. But when I thought about this,
you don't believe in love.
I have found this question comes up with a lot of people as like a philosophical question, you know, why did God do this or whatnot? I find that I am very unsatisfied with a lot of the answers that people give. And the biggest answer that I hear in response to this question
is
God did this. God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden so that we can have free will to choose good and evil.
And before we continue, I'm interested because I don't remember what you said, but I do remember that you brought that up, that you weren't satisfied with that answer. And actually, somebody responded to Katie's comment on Facebook with that exact answer. Well, it was about free will, so we're not all robots.
Yeah.
And you kind of say here, that's not enough for me. I'm not satisfied with that answer. So no knock on – I don't even remember who responded to Katie's response, but let's just look at it from a different angle here.
Yeah. The reason why God would do that is so that we wouldn't be robots. I don't like that answer. I do affirm free will. As a Calvinist, even as a Calvin, Calvinists do affirm free will to a certain sense. And
kind
even
of.
At the in the garden,
we
did.
We have to
we
define our
have
terms there.
The freest will, you know, to choose evil or to choose good. But I don't think that was the purpose behind the tree. And maybe Johnny does disagree with me there. And the way I think about it, you know, is in heaven, do we lose free will? Are we robots in heaven? When we go to heaven, we will not be able to sin. It will not be a part of our nature. But does that make us robots?
Yes.
I don't think so. I think allowed to express love. I think that's what we're going to be doing all the time in heaven, is expressing our love to God in heaven, even though we're not even able to sin in heaven. But that doesn't take our free will away, and that does not take our autonomy away. So I don't find that answer satisfying. And maybe my answer is even more simple than what Johnny said. Ultimately, why did God, knowing that Adam and Eve were going to eat from the tree, why did God not intervene? And ultimately, I have to affirm, and this is from a Reformed perspective, mind you, that God did not intervene because God actually had this all planned out from the beginning, that this was actually all part of God's plan. That answer is scary to a lot of people. And I can understand why, because it makes it sound like God ordained evil. And, well, I believe in a sovereign God, and I have to affirm that.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's address my comment here.
Okay.
I would probably use different words to describe that, because whether you're a Calvinist or you stopped recording.
No, I know. I don't need the screen anymore. I just realized it's going to take up a bunch of space for no reason. So keep going.
Whether you're a Calvinist or you're an Arminian, you still have to confront the same problem, right? That God is sovereign, right? And God does have – there is God's plan, you know.
God's plan,
right. But, how much of it – there's nothing that happens in this world that surprises God, right? Whether you believe that it's because of foreknowledge or because of he ordained it, nothing surprises God. Nothing takes God back to like, whoa, I was not expecting that to happen. So yeah, even Adam and Eve taking the fruit. So I mean, in theological terms, I think there's a distinction between saying that God ordained something or God allowed it to happen. Either way, God knew it was going to happen, you know. So I still agree with younger Ryan there, but I would be a little more hesitant to articulate it like that, because it makes God sound like the author of evil.
Do you believe that God ordained Adam and Eve to sin?
Yeah, and I think we'd have to talk about what ordaining means. I, at the very least, from what I know, God allowed Adam and Eve to sin.
Yeah, I mean, that's where I'm at. I believe in the whole foreknowledge thing. You can think of like a Doctor Strange scenario, you know, imagine God's, you know, planning the universe. He knows everything that's going to happen, and he decides to set into motion something that's going to play out a certain way, and he knows how he's going
to. And think about it. Even with that analogy, Doctor Strange knew he had to allow half the universe to get snapped away, ultimately, for everyone to get saved.
Right, so... Yeah, exactly. So sometimes you have to make some tough decisions.
It might be a little bit of a stretch, but I was just saying you could take that analogy even further.
I think it's a pretty good analogy.
Here's the thing with younger Ryan here. Younger Ryan's a little more confident in his position. These days I'm not as confident.
And now you're agnostic.
Right,
about everything.
I'm actually Buddhist now. But I would say I think I still believe that, with probably modifying some of the language that I use. But I'm much less confident about what I'm saying here.
Well, let's see what confident Ryan has to say to Ryan.
I would just say, I'm probably in the same exact boat I was in then. I mean, the reality is, I believe that God
hasn't changed because he's
perfect. No, I know, but God had this plan for the universe. He knew what it was going to cost him. He knew what we were going to do, and he just because God is love. He just went through with it. It was awesome.
Johnny's living in a Disney movie.
He's a little touchy-feely.
That pattern in Scripture as well. We think about the big example that people would give is the story of Joseph. What happens to Joseph in Genesis? He's sold into slavery. by his brothers. They really don't like him. They're jealous of him, and so they sold him. They beat him up. They threw him in a hole, and then they sold him into slavery.
One in this video.
And Joseph goes through all of this crap on his journey, and he ends up in prison. It's a whole story. You should read it. It's a great story. But ultimately, through these events, Joseph he ascends to the second highest office in Egypt through these events. And finally, Joseph, he actually reconciles with his brothers through a series of events. And he says this in Genesis 50. He says to his brothers, "As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, to bring it about that many people should be kept alive as they are today." So Joseph's brothers sold Joseph into slavery, but here Joseph recognizes that it was God's plan all along.
God's plan.
So who caused Joseph to be sold into slavery? Was it Joseph or was it God? The answer is both. What we see in scripture is that God uses secondary agents to do his will.
Yeah, I used the word cause there. And I mean, I'm not a theologian nor am I a philosopher, but yeah, we have to be careful when we're using that language that God caused something. So,
okay.
That's it. That's my comment.
Okay.
Another example I would give is in 2 Samuel chapter 24. My pastor recently preached on this text. David, King David, he's king of the at the time, and he decides to take a census. And this was actually a sin for David to do, to take a census. And that's really weird for us to hear. Why is it wrong for David to count his army? And so scholars have talked about that, and many scholars have come to the conclusion that it was sinful for David to take a census of his army because of David's intention. He was probably taking a census so that he could go forth with imperial unjust war against neighboring kingdoms, which would not have been good. And so that was kind of the heart behind David's actions there in taking the census. But verse 1 of chapter 24 in 2 Samuel says this: "Again, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he incited David against them, saying, 'Go number Israel and Judah.'" That's a wild verse right there. That verse tells us that God incited David to take the census, something that God didn't want David to do, that God deemed sinful for David. We read in another passage, though, in a different book, the same story. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 1 through 2. It reads this: "Then Satan stood against Israel and incited David to number Israel. So David said to Joab and the commanders of the army, 'Go number Israel from Beersheba to Dan and bring me a report that I may know their number.'" So in 1 Chronicles, it tells us that actually it was Satan that incited David to take this census. And what's the conclusion that we make there is, who was it? Was it God or David? Or was it God or Satan? And the answer, it was both. God actually uses Satan for the purposes of his will. And another story, we can look at Job, whatever, you know. The reality is that God has ordained everything. I affirm God's sovereignty. Why would God ordain these things? And ultimately, it is because it is for his glory. I have to say, through the sum of Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, everything that God does is for his glory. And that includes the death of Jesus on the cross. And that whole plan of redemption, it is about love. And God expressing his love for his people also magnifies his glory. All of it's for his glory. Yeah. And so I do agree with Johnny.
I still agree with that. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think in a way I agree with that, you know, with my whole love angle that you get.
Yeah, your Disney movie angle. Yeah,
you don't care about God's glory.
No, I do. I think that
a lovey mamby pamby.
No, I think that is his glory. I mean, yeah. Right, that's what incites me to
but
worship.
But isn't that what he just said? So right. Why would you disagree?
And Johnny's right. His love is his glory. I mean, the Bible says it. God is love.
Right.
You know?
So when I think about the kind of like the way that I would frame it, you know, I would then agree with Ryan from that that framing of like, yeah, God does everything for his glory.
It seems to me like, honestly, you guys both agree. You're just have different emphasis.
Well, I think now, and this would be like a whole other episode, like the whole idea of the whole like Satan God dichotomy and all those kind of things, I would have a totally different take on than Ryan does. But
yeah. He's weird.
That's a whole nother episode, huh?
Yeah, that was the time period between the two different accounts was enough that basically the second was self-corrective, but that's a whole different thing.
Oh, okay. Interesting. We'll have to do an episode on that. In the garden, we do see this. I think love is definitely a part of it.
It's just a part of it.
But I think in
God,
the big picture,
love is a part of God.
I think it's about God's glory.
That was heretical. God is love.
Maybe you agree with me or disagree with me.
I do. I do agree with you. I mean, I think that was kind of my point is like, I certainly don't believe that first theory that is a common answer, right? Yeah. That the tree of knowledge of good and evil was placed there so that we would not be robots. They already weren't robots. He was already considering and weighing good against evil. Yeah, as she was being trained by God to do so, right? Okay, so she had free will already. It was a device for tangible obedience, which created the possibility of love. And I think I've been asked that question before by students. It's like, okay, well, now sin will one day be completely removed. Okay, that possibility is now removed. Does that mean that we are robots? That we've lost our free will? Well, there's a big difference at that point. When we enter into the new kingdom, when God finishes the work that he's doing in us, Habakkuk has a prophecy that the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God. Interesting, like you're talking about the glory of God, as the waters cover the sea, that there won't be any absence of understanding good and evil and weighing God. Like, we will know God's wisdom. It will be been revealed to us in fullness. And so we won't have anything, we won't need to weigh any options. We will know what's true and what's right. Of our own accord, because we've chosen through faith, but there just won't be any room for it anymore because the knowledge of the glory of God will cover as the waters cover the sea, and so that's the main difference. Not necessarily that we don't have free will, but that there's no room to push that free will into evil anymore. Mm-hmm. And but yeah, I totally agree that that was not the main purpose of the tree, was to give us free will. God made us with free will. Mm-hmm. Totally different conversation, really, about like David and stuff like that. It's that whole foreknowledge versus actual ordination, which honestly I think that's just nuance. I don't think we fully comprehend what those things mean.
That would be a whole different
podcast. It would be. I mean, because, but like
my point in talking, bringing those verses up, is that God, I think God does ordain evil. However, the mechanics...
Yeah, so you do, because earlier Johnny asked you, and you're like, well, no. And then here we have video evidence of you saying that you think God ordains evil.
Yeah, I think it's just a semantic argument at that point. What do I mean by ordaining?
What do you mean, Ryan?
Yeah, I'd certainly... Younger Ryan would not have said that God caused evil or made evil happen, but that he allowed evil to happen.
So you're defending younger Ryan here.
Yeah, younger Ryan, he's not as good with articulating with language.
You would at least articulate it differently today than you would back then.
Yes.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Well, and I'm sure there's lots of sound bites from all three of us that...
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and the whole...
condemn us as heretics. No.
So I actually... Well, we'll get to that in a second. Let's finish. Yeah.
And I think ultimately I could assent to that in a different way, but like, just what does that really mean? I mean, like, because I really do think that God... did all of this in foreknowledge, that he did all the calculations and he knew exactly how it was going to go down.
Dr. Strange.
And so, in a way, you could say God ordained evil, right? So if he
oh, so now Johnny affirms incredible dominant reaction
that ends in the glory of God as the waters cover the sea, he may not be tipping the 50th domino, but he tipped the first one. You know, so he did ordain it, but he's not responsible for it.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Right. And so,
now you said that God ordains evil.
I don't know. I mean, I think that's when you get...
Oh, now you're trying to defend yourself.
No, I wouldn't. No, I would not say it that way either. I would not articulate it that way either anymore. I think that it is interesting, though. I would have to, like, go around in circles, because I think that's where it gets really philosophical at that point, right? Yeah. Using the domino analogy, he was willing to tip the first domino to have human history play out the way that it did. So, you know, what is he responsible? I don't know. You know, that's where you really get into the I don't, you know, philosophically, what does that really mean? I don't know that we'll ever really know. I would not say in a way, I don't know that I would say that phrase ever again. In a way, God ordained evil. Well, no. So I recant that publicly. Right,
so now we're waiting for Connor to say it on this episode, too.
This is why I don't talk a lot on the show. Just edit.
Right.
For evil, or that evil is comes from God, that God is evil. Because everything that God does is for good. I think the Bible makes love. That clear.
But if we really believe in God's sovereignty, then nobody would be able to commit acts of evil unless God sovereignly allowed
them. Oh boy, Connor's saying it.
You Calvinist freak.
No. I didn't say...
Apparently love is where they're...
Yeah, whoa, that's a cop-out, number one. And this really went off the rails at the end.
Now we are all guilty.
Second of all, no, hold on. I actually would stand by what I said, though, because I didn't say God ordained evil. I said he allows it.
Yeah. Which is a way, that's
You're
fine.
Just avoiding.
That's how all Calvinists avoid the whole sovereignty thing. But, you know, avoid not. Anyway, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
I'm just saying that allows and ordains are two different words.
Yes, that is true.
One may be a better way of saying it.
Yeah,
right. We would live in a loveless world. It's cheesy, but I remember I was sitting in the living room of my grandfather's house when he was alive in Naples, and he fell asleep, and Hallmark Channel was still on, and there was this old Hallmark Hall of Fame movie called Valley of Light, and this dude was just – he was living his life so that nobody could hurt him anymore and stuff like that.
Sends with the Hallmark movie?
You might find some valley of light where, you know, everything's perfect, everything's fine, but I imagine it's a loveless place, right? Because he wasn't willing to let anybody in, and therefore he wouldn't have a relationship of love. And so I guess love is worth it to people. And it's interesting that even in, a cultural thing that was completely...
That was very cheesy, John.
It is very cheesy, but even in that movie, there's this theme of, you know what? I might get hurt, I might have to be vulnerable, but I want to experience love, right? That's the value of love, and God is love, right? So that to me is...
And I do want to re-stress that, because I did talk a lot about God's
love,
glory.
Love,
but the Bible
love.
Does say God is love.
Right.
And so in whatever God does expresses that love.
But part of his glory is his love. And I think I want to glorify God when I read this,
title
that he,
together.
For new... and or slash ordained everything, right, that's going to happen. And he still said, I'm going to have to go to the cross in order for this plan, for this to go to plan.
Yeah.
But I'm willing to do that.
Well, and that's why I think your answers don't really contradict each other, because at the end of the day, God loving us and knowing all that would entail, he also knew that is the thing that would bring him the most glory. So
now, playing the devil's advocate just for a second, right? There are some more intellectual atheists who might say, well, I would rather just not exist than have to go through this and not experience the love of God. But I think that's a person that has not experienced the Holy Spirit and understood. Because once the Holy Spirit gets involved and you understand that existence is beautiful in the end, right? I mean, Revelation 21, then all of a sudden it is worth it, you know? That's where you get into ethics and all this kind of debate about, you know, whether or not it would have been more ethical, human ethics, right, for God to just leave it be. But sure. I'm glad to be alive, personally.
So, honestly, I think we're actually going to have to wait till next week to answer the other question.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
We got a full episode here. So, it's good discussion. I mean, how long do you think that'll take?
I mean, I had
I don't want to rush.
I hear me
say,
I eat.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't even remember what the other question was.
I only
was.
Have a few thoughts.
I do too. I mean, where are we on time? We're on
You have 20 seconds left.
Oh, maybe
answer the
wait.
Question.
Yeah, I think we should wait.
We'll wait. Maybe you could throw in another question for next week as well. Yeah.
Yeah, let me see what the
All
next
right,
week
guys.
Was.
Well, thank
remember.
You so much for joining us this week on Theology Thursday. Raymond, thank you for your question. It's a great question. A lot of people have that question, and I think it's worth exploring. So, Ryan, go ahead.
Yeah, I eat.
You got your yeah, I eat.
Yay.
Okay, so here's any closing thoughts and any reaction to that? You guys have anything else you want to add? That, you know, generally speaking, pretty much the same. Maybe could have worded some things
better. Yeah, I think, it is all semantics. I would definitely word things differently.
Okay.
I will tell you this right now. There is a couple things I would word differently. And I think, too, like, the way that my brain works is definitely different now. I don't know how you feel, but, like...
Yeah, you got dumber.
Yeah, exactly. No, but, like when I was hearing you talk about the whole, you know, God in one passage and Satan in another passage, I know the purpose of that example was, you know, for what you're talking about, but I would have, now I think about something totally different, like what Satan is in the Old Testament, what Satan is in the New Testament, and how that all works together. It's pretty interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Can we do that for one of our October episodes, talk about Satan?
Yeah, let's talk about Satan.
We're going to talk about angels and demons.
Yep.
We're talking about some spooky stuff, guys. So, here's what I feel about how that went. Because this is our first time trying to react to an episode, see how it went. I liked that.
You liked that?
I thought that was kind of neat. So here's the deal. Like, if somebody sends us a question that we've already answered in the past, might as well just react to it, because I felt like overall, not much has changed. I was right. But we were able to say, oh, you know what? Because, and I think in just the nature of the show, it's a good thing for us to do, because we always clarify, we're not experts. We're not claiming to be experts. We're just students, and we want to share that journey. And so along the way, critiquing ourselves and, you know, and growing and our perspectives changing, that's all a part of that journey, right? So being able to look back and say, I'm not totally there with that, or this has changed, or maybe I could have worded that better, I think is really valuable for us as well as our listeners who are joining us on this journey. So I think even if our views haven't changed that much, like, if somebody asks a question I've already asked before, I'm just going to send them the episode anyway. So now they just get that with a little bit of extra commentary. So I think it's totally worthwhile. You had a good idea, Ryan.
Thank you.
How do you guys feel about that? You like that?
Could I have a suggestion for the after show.
Okay, well, we can talk about that in a second, but first I'm asking, do you like...
I like...
the reacting?
I like...
I'm
fine with it, because I agree with the same thing. I mean, you're going to send them the episode anyway, we might as well freshen it up a bit.
Here's my policy. Because this was this year, but it was still last season, and there's still been some time that's transpired, so the policy is we just don't react to an episode that's been released in the same season that we're in.
Yeah, sure.
Cool. And then, like, 3 years from now, we'll react to us reacting to this.
Reactception.
What's your idea for the after show, though?
Can we react to episode one?
You want to react to the very first episode?
Yeah.
Johnny wasn't even in that episode.
I know.
Well, that may work out, because I kind of, like, I really am, like, running low on time, because I got to go get lunch for my family. So you guys could just
leave us?
Well, I wouldn't have to if it was, like, a shorter after show. But if you're going to react to a full episode, but it's just you two in the episode, it might make more sense for you two.
No, I want you to react, because...
We don't have to do the whole episode.
Think about the fact that you know...
Oh my goodness, it's 42 minutes.
We're not going to react the whole thing.
So maybe we'll do that. Maybe. I don't know.
So thank you guys.
I could just make fun of you guys. That's
and we could make fun of you.
I'm not in the episode.
Exactly.
So. Yeah, but we'll just make fun of you anyway. I think we should have Johnny react to every episode that hasn't been in, since he doesn't listen to them. Just force him to react to them. Just make the new after show. It's Theology Thursday Reacts. Cool. Well, I have a question for these guys. I'm going to throw totally off the cuff. Very deep theological question I've been processing lately. And I'm going to ask them on the after show, and it's going to get spicy. So I encourage you to join us. Ryan, go ahead and do the thing.
Yeah, eat.